I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the work Oregon's been doing with our WIC programs and our different data systems. So I'm assuming folks know about WIC, but very briefly, it's a nutrition program that focuses on pregnant women and infants to improve their nutritional status. In Oregon, we have 34 WIC agencies statewide, serving 36 counties. The vast majority are in our local health departments, with a few located in tribal lands and a Head Start and a migrant community health center as well. The system, the whole WIC program went paperless a few years ago, and that's an important piece to keep in mind. So when you've got a child or a parent comes into the WIC program, their entire appointment is done with the computer. So as a WIC health educator, I might sit and ask you questions from the screen and enter information as I go. And in Oregon, about 40% of all infants are born covered by WIC. So if we don't get these folks' immunization rates up, we're going to have problems with our rates overall. So historically, you probably know that the WICM partnering came about because nationally, immunization rates for WIC kids were statistically lower than those for non-WIC participants. And then in December 2000, from the Clinton administration, an executive memorandum came out requiring screening of all 0 to 23-month-olds WIC participants, screening for immunization status. So in Oregon, we previous to that had already created a statewide collaboration between our WIC and immunization programs. So we already had a good foundation of partnering at the state and local level. Between 2001 and 2006, we worked quite a bit with the WIC agencies on training. We worked with them on how to look at different records, how to look at not only asking for the handheld, but we also really encouraged them to look at other electronic records that might be available. One of those electronic records is from IRIS, which is the public sector immunization record. Another is the Alert Registry. Again, that's a statewide public-private repository of information. And then some of the clinics themselves had their own electronic medical record systems. For each of these three kinds of records, a WIC health educator or certifier would need to leave their WIC data system to exit that to go out and look at these other records. We did, however, during that time period, add a screening question prompt to that automatic appointment. So the WIC staff were starting to incorporate that and starting to look a lot at handheld records and other records over the years. And then in 2007, we added an electronic forecast feature actually in the WIC system, and I'll talk about that a little bit. Our evaluation focuses on 2004 through 2006. We did an annual survey of WIC agencies about their immunization screening practices, what tools they used, how they did their assessment. We also in Oregon have used our registry data to produce population-based statewide estimates. We can do those by counties. We also produce those estimates by WIC, non-WIC participation. And that's data that comes directly from our registry. We do adjust it for child mobility and for incomplete provider reporting. In 2007, when we implemented the forecast feature out of the WIC system, we did a survey post-implementation 1 month afterwards and then another 11 months afterwards to get a sense of how that was working for folks. So this data I'll first show you is from the 2004 to 2006 primarily, although I guess I do have a 2007 bar too, now that I look at that. So we asked WIC agencies, how were they screening? Were they counting DTaps? Were they reviewing an entire history? Or were they doing both? A little bit of variation. When you get to 07, you see more are doing a full review and fewer are doing counting DTaP, but a lot continue to do both. We asked what records they reviewed for their screening process. As you can see, over 85% of all the agencies still continue to review a handheld record or at least ask for one. But the middle set of bars are the ones I want to draw your attention to. We had quite a dramatic increase from about 28% to over 70% of the agencies said over the course of the 4 years they increased in the frequency of checking electronic records. And those could again be from the immunization record system, the public health record system. They could be from the registry, or they could be from their own EMR system. And then the last, it's probably not the registry folks, because those are in the last set of bars, and we saw a jump there as well. We asked what tools they used to help with their assessments. Some continued to do manual until 07, and then you can really see the use of a computerized assessment tool really increased. So we want to see, does any of this change in practice have any effect on rates? And we actually did find a significant change in our rates for our WIC population. As I said, these are population-based rates. We're using our entire registry data to develop these rates. Because of that, we have very large numbers and very small confidence intervals. Our confidence intervals for our WIC rates are about 0.6. So our increase from 67.7% up-to-date rate in 04 to 70.7 in 06 was a statistical change. Small, but we like to think of it as the beginning. And it brought our WIC population up to our non-WIC immunization rate, which is what we were really looking for, because we did have some disparity there. One other note, the 2006 rates, we incorporated into our rate calculation a minimum spacing between third and fourth DTaP dose. So those rates were probably are a little bit lower than the two previous years because of that change in methods of how we calculated those rates. If we'd used the same method that we used in 04 and 05, we anticipate that our 06 rates would have been even a little bit higher. So in 07, we took a big step forward in how we wanted to do screening for our WIC population. We created a bidirectional data link between our registry system and FamilyNet. And FamilyNet is the overall record system where TWIST is one module of it, and the IRIS, which is the immunization folks module, those are both modules of FamilyNet. The data link goes between FamilyNet and ALERT, our statewide registry. And what it allows a WIC coordinator to do is when a child comes in, they can, from their WIC system, press the immunization forecast button, and a forecast for that child will come up on their screen. So they no longer have to leave the WIC data system to go to close out one window and go into another to look at the registry data. The system also produces a referral letter that then can be given to parents, and in the circle it shows what shots the child's due for, and there's a box on the bottom that has a message in Spanish, so if the parent doesn't understand it, they can read the Spanish message to ask them to take it to their provider for and have a review there. So we did an evaluation about the use of the forecast button. We did a rapid evaluation 1 month later and then repeated a similar evaluation 11 months later. How frequently is the forecast button used? The yellow bar shows the February 07 results, and the December 07 is in the orange. And as you can see, there wasn't much change. We still have, 35 to 40% of the staff said they were not using the button. For those screening less than 25% of the time in the December 07 survey, their reasons for not doing it, over half the respondents reported a persistent skepticism of the data or unavailability of the forecast. We suspect that there's a few things going on. One, the bidirectional data link is not in real time. So a child has to be in the WIC data system, and then on a weekly basis, all the kids 0 to 23 exported to the registry, matched up with records, and it's brought back and a forecast is provided. So if a child is new to the WIC agency and it was an unexpected appointment and they didn't get in the schedule in advance, then that data process might not have been completed in time for that visit. The second thing is we don't have all of our providers reporting, although we have very good reporting to the registry. There's going to be some incomplete stuff. So when someone comes in with their handheld record and it doesn't match what someone's seeing from the forecast, then there's confusion. And the third piece is someone's coming in with their record and it shows their immunization history, not necessarily their forecast, but the WICIM button shows a forecast and not a history. So you really need to have a WIC certifier who can look at the two and see that they complement each other as opposed to match each other, because you're getting histories on one and you're getting a forecast on the other. And we think there's probably some need for additional either training there or an ability for the WIC staff to actually see the histories as well as a forecast. As far as the unavailability of data, we looked at that. For those who use the system regularly, how often is a forecast produced? And we have seen some improvements in that. Part of that was just getting the process of that bidirectional data exchange working well and working in a timely way so we'd meet that 2-week turnaround time. We asked, how often do you use it for clients greater than 23 months of age, which is the federal requirement. A third of them said they routinely used it, which was nice to hear. And then another 40% said they, you know, use it if they can, which indicates to us that while they've adopted it for the mandate, it's not really been embraced and it's not become a routine kind of core value for their practice. Overall, two-thirds of the folks that responded said that they were satisfied with the forecaster button. And lastly, so in conclusion, we think that the WIC visit provides a great opportunity to do an assessment and referral, and WIC staff are great partners, and we've really been working with them, and we'll continue to work with them on making sure that we can meet their needs and they can provide us the best assessment and referrals possible. The WIC agencies are adopting more sophisticated methods of assessment and referral. They're getting familiar and using electronic records, which we love to see. They're starting to use more computerized assessments. And we'd like to think that is impacting their rates in a positive way. What we'd really like to see is over the next year, when we get to see our 2007 and 2008 data and we've introduced this new feature, we're really hoping to see some additional increases. Oh, and I just talked about some of this. So we want to still look at some of the issues around, I think it mentioned earlier, about completeness of data and that mismatch between the forecast and the history. And we're going to continue producing immunization rates out of our registry so we can look at how our WIC population is doing. Acknowledgements from our WICIM team from Oregon. I think that's it. Questions? Thank you.
Questions?
Hi, I'm Carolyn Cook from Mary Bridge Children's Hospital in Tacoma, Washington State. And I worked on the Washington WIC immunization program. We've done that for the last 6 years. And I wonder, did you get any pushback from physicians? Because we did because often the predictors, you know, the thing that said they needed it were because records were not in the computer, and we were sending kids over to their office, and then they had to scan and see that they really didn't need to be there. So we got some pushback from local docs. Did that happen to you?
I grew up in Tacoma, so I know that area well. Very good question. That is one of the questions we asked in 2007 when we did the two surveys, because that was a concern from our WIC staff that we would be producing all these letters, sending kids off, and the providers might be a little peeved if they saw immunizations due and wondered where that came from. So we did quite a bit of outreach with our pediatricians and family practice docs prior to implementing that referral button. And then we also, when we asked about that in the survey, we found that most of the WIC agencies reported never hearing from docs about it. Some reported getting positive feedback, both from their doc, from maybe a doctor or two, and also from the parents. And then there were a couple, maybe one or two, that reported some negative feedback from a physician in their community. But it was really negligible, so we've continued to go forward and we have not heard any direct complaints from doctors, and I don't believe the state WIC program has either.
Any other questions?
I did, but it's kind of hard to get around the microphone, but my name is Kay Kirk, and I'm the child health nurse and supervisor at Jackson, Madison County Regional Health Department in Jackson, Tennessee. Maybe you do this, and I didn't understand, but we have nurses in our clinic. Our WIC clinic and our health department clinic are all together. So we actually do vaccines on their WIC visits. Do you all do that as well? While they're in WIC clinic, the nurse gets the chart first, reviews the records that they've either the parent has brought from the physician's office or whatever. And if they need vaccines, then the parents are willing. We do vaccines while they're in clinic for WIC.
We have some WIC agencies that right next to the community clinics. So if they get out of the WIC agency site and they said they need something for immunization, they go directly to the community clinics. And also in regards with the first question, a lot of community clinics, especially the ones that are right next to the WIC agency, want to put the record first before the WIC agency does, because the record is coming from them and they want to make sure that they're entering the right one. So a lot of times they have a agreement that they will put the record in before they put it in. So those are the agreement that they have.
In Oregon, it kind of covers the gamut. So we have the agencies that are co-located with local health departments, and sometimes those local health departments maybe will schedule visits, have hours at the same time so they can refer back and forth. Sometimes in the smaller agencies, the immunization nurse is the WIC certifier, so they take care of it at the same time. But as with many things, it comes down to relationships. So you have some clinics or WIC agencies and the immunization program, they're co-located, their hours are great, but the referral between the two isn't so great, and that unfortunately ends up depending on relationships. But I don't know of any sites that do the WIC, do the immunization appointment and then do the WIC appointment, although I suppose that may happen. And I think there are referrals both ways, but I guess that's it.
Is reporting required to your registries in the entire area?
I'm sorry?
Reporting to your registries required?
Reporting to
No, it's in Oregon, it's not mandatory reporting, but we have over 90% of the birth cohort has at least one dose in the registry. The mandatory part for the WIC agencies is they have to use their WIC data system, but using the link to the registry is optional, and they don't enter any data into the registry because we don't have an online data entry for our registry.
Same here in San Diego, it's optional.
This question is for Martha. Do you have any more current data than 1999 that shows the difference in the WIC immunization rates and the general population?
Good question. There is, but there's NIS data that is more recent than 99. I chose 99 because it was in 2000 that executive memorandum came out. But there's more recent data. I think in 06 there was data. Depending on the size of your state, there may not be WIC, non-WIC comparisons by state. But if you look on the NIS website, you can see which years they've asked that question, and you can see national and state level data.
I guess I was wondering if it improved your rates. I mean, it really hasn't shown that.
Well, in Oregon, our sample in the NIS is not large enough to do a split between WIC, non-WIC. So we don't rely on the NIS data to look at our population-based rates for our WIC kids. We instead developed this other method, and we did see a significant increase over the 3 years. We just don't have 07-year data yet, but we'll continue to produce that and look at that.
This is Chris Kim from California CIS State. I have a question both. I mean, as far as I know, for WIC clients, there's expiration. I mean, like, it's not forever WIC client. So how does IIS, registry immunization registry handle, you know, once it was a client and, you know, no more client, then how do you handle the situation? Is there, you know, a button or automatically expire, or, you know, another situation is once it was client, but, you know, it was not, you know, client anymore, and then, you know, re-client, those kind of situations. How do you handle that, both system?
So in Oregon, our statewide registry is now lifespan. Public and private, everyone. It doesn't matter what provider or what kind of program you're involved in. So once a kid's in the registry, they're always in the registry, unless, and our registry is only an opt-out registry. We don't advertise that at all, but if we get a complaining parent, then we flag that kid so that that parent's not going to get maybe a reminder recall postcard or something like that. So that's the only time where in the registry itself we might flag someone as opt-out. On the WIC side, you're right. So they have to go through a recertification process. They only serve 0 to 5 year olds. In our bidirectional data link, we look at all the 0 to 5 year olds that are currently in the WIC program, do the data exchange so that we've got their immunization data available if they come in for an appointment, if the certifier needs to look it up. Once they reach five, that their name won't be in that extract process anymore, so they won't do that link. They'll just be in the registry for their pediatrician to look up at a later time.
Do you delete
the individualized from the records or the WIC ID number? I don't know that that's necessarily saved in the registry at all. I think we do the linking, the matching between a WIC kid and a registry record on name, date of birth. If we have some kind of medical record, actually, we do use that. We don't delete that at a later point, no.
In San Diego, the WIC ID stays in the registry. The WIC agency has a policy that if the child is going to be over the age and there will be deleted from their, or it's going to be not going to be the part of the program, they give the yellow card together with the list of clinics that they can go to if they need immunization. Otherwise, they refer them to their medical home provider. And the medical provider will see the record as the other record. If they, for whatever reason that the child is in the registry, and for some reason that the provider is using the registry, they will see it as a gray record. They have the ability to acquire the record. So that's how it is in our registry.
Yes.
So pretend I'm a WIC certifier and I go through, you know, my list of questions and I get to the ones around immunization screening. I'd ask the mom if she brought a record in with her. And then I might also push the forecast button from my screen and it would produce a forecast for that child. So it would show me on the screen what shots that child is due or past due for. And if, in fact, there are some due or past due, then I would ask the parent if they'd like a referral letter, and I'd print that out, and that they could take that then to their provider or the public health immunization clinic to get those immunizations. Does that help?
Yeah.
I have a screen printout if you want to see it later.
Did you have any problems with WIC agreeing to do this with the immunization program?
at the state level, we didn't. It came down to a resource issue around the IS folks and programming. And so there was, you know, it got in the queue of on the wish list. And so it took a little while to make it happen because immunization had to come up with the resources to make it happen. But the WIC staff stepped up and created the training and education materials for all their WIC agencies, went out and did trainings, highlighted at their annual WIC meetings. So we had already really established a great partnership between our two state programs, and that was also mirrored at several county levels. It was more of an issue of resources and kind of fitting it into the priority level.
It's a lot of massaging and giving them money. That's why we have an incentive program for them. It's, you have to build a relationship. Martha is right. Relationship is very important because immunization is a small portion of what they do, and that's not their specialty. And you're trying to make them believe or make them realize that immunization is also the biggest part that they can help the community. So it's a lot of massaging and just listening to what they say and cover your ears, and then afterwards you can do whatever you want. You can cuss for that reason. So that's what I do. I just listen to them and then refer back to our registry manager for whatever they want to do in the registry and make it possible.